Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I will be with you for about 50, 55 minutes. I have a phenomenal guest today. And someone, I can't say enough about what he's done. He's an author. He's a writer. He's a veteran. He's all I can say is his books. I'll be honest. I only read The Boys of St. Joe's 65 in the Vietnam War. And his name is Dennis Pregent. And he's got other books out, but we're here today. We'll talk about all his books, but we're here today to zero in on his most current book. And I'm going to have him tell you the title, introduce himself. And he's a Marine Corps veteran. And so many of my friends were in the Marines, and I believe a Vietnam era, a Vietnam veteran. So, Dennis, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. I appreciate coming on the show. My latest book is Berkshire Heroes in World War II with Courage and Honor, published a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And it's got 30 some odd stories about local veterans from Adams, North Adams, Williamstown, the Northern Berkshires.
Yeah.
Men and women who answered the call and served their country, you know, from the Pacific to the Himalayas to D-Day.
Yeah.
Paratroopers, tail gunners, nurses. And it talks about their life stories, but most importantly, it focuses on what they did during World War II.
And, you know, I have a friend who was a state representative, Smitty Pignatelli, and we have discussed this amongst ourselves about today, the kiddos, they know more about ancient Greece than they know about World War II or World War I. And, you know, I maybe the big brains education might say, you know, that's great, ancient Greece and ancient Rome, they had, but while this is now, World War II is 80 years old, there's still a lot of relevance. We're seeing it right now over across the world. How Churchill and that whole crew after the war split up the Middle East and so many other things. So, I want to announce his other books. And just give us a hit over what they're, you know, the contents of them. The other, as I said, The Boys of St. Joe 65 in the Vietnam War. Go ahead. Just give a 30-foot.
That was my first book. My introduction to writing, that was about 5 years ago. I hadn't associated with my, and been to any class reunions with St. Joe, but I went to one.
Yeah.
And I was retired and I really didn't know what to do with myself. And after the reunion, I met a number of veterans and I decided to pick out a dozen veterans and write about what we did in the war, and including a protester, a lady who protested at the time.
Yeah.
The 11 veterans, I believe all of us are disabled. One was killed in a war, one was paralyzed, many were shot. So I spent a lot of time with them and their families talking about what they did in the war. And their life afterwards. Most came home, found a job, got married, and went on with their life. And that was my first book.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing, though, when, you know, as I look back and see, and so many of my friends, my old unit, they're gone. You know, but when you think back and you think, wait a minute, we went from high school kiddos, immature,
yes,
right, to hell. And that to me, even now as an old, maybe because I am an old man now, which, I tell people I don't complain about the aches and the pains because I know so many that never got the opportunity to have them, as you have.
Well, when I go home to visit Adams, that's where I grew up for the most
Okay.
part. I visit the cemetery where my parents are in Bellevue, and about 50 feet away is a classmate, Russell Rullier, who died in 1968. And I always visit his grave and think I've had 60 more years to enjoy life than he ever did. It makes a real, it's poignant for me.
Me too. And I find myself more emotional now than I ever was when I was young. And I was talking to an older veteran, and as my wife said, they're hard to find older than you. But he was saying he found himself the same thing. He's Korean War. He came back, he was bing, bing, bing. But he said, now I think about and I fill up. And I said, yeah, it must come with age. I
I
know.
think you're
You know why I think about it? When we were young, we were running. We had family. We had jobs. We had responsibility. We really didn't have time to meditate. And now
no.
that's what I call it, meditation. So that's just me. Hey,
Well, I'll often talk with my daughters because we have a lot of grandchildren, and they'll compare what you and I were doing at age 17 and 18 with what their 18 years, 18-year-olders are doing right now. A big difference.
Isn't it? Isn't it something?
I mean, at 18, 19, I was leading patrols, and 18 or 19, they're visiting colleges, trying to figure out what they want to do, you know.
Let's hope they can continue to do that and
Yes.
we don't stumble into something. Born in the Berkshires. What's that, Dennis?
After I finished the Boys of St. Joe, I won another project, and I started thinking about some of the personalities I knew from the Northern Berkshires that had made an impact, or just regular run, common folks. And I started making a list, and then I thought, heck, I'll write about them. There's Martha Coakley, who was the first woman attorney general for Massachusetts from North Adams. There was Jack's Hot Dog is a popular place up there, so I wrote about the owner of Jack's. I wrote about Gus Jamello, who's a barber at 80, had given over 200,000 haircuts. And I just found out you found unique personalities. John Barrett, mayor of North Adams for 26 years.
I
I wrote
interview him once a month.
You
John,
what?
I interview John Barrett once a month. He's a now
Really?
a state rep.
I have talked to him. So I picked a diverse set of personalities. Stanley Brown, who managed the Brown, he and his dad managed the Brown, Auto Center on top of the Mohawk Trail. Stanley was 80, so he can remember it's when he and his father were servicing Model Ts trying to get over the trail. And there's just a plethora of stories like that I thought were fascinating.
And all I mean, I want to let the people know too, all these books are available on Amazon or
Yeah. They
and
are.
I have to just give this guy a plug. He's down in Lenox. And forgive me because I don't remember the name of his store, that most of the people who watch this show don't know that I don't remember where I parked the car. But it's a little independent bookstore. I was in there the other day for the first time in about a year or more. I was just amazed at him and what he's done against the big boys, against Amazon, against Barnes and Noble. He's found a niche, and he's really he's a fun guy to talk to. But he's all some of his books. I'll tell you, Amazon may have them, but others, you look hard and wide.
He carries all my books.
That's where I was headed.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
No, but I'm glad again. Think about it. He's really he's kind of a hero in my book today to be an independent, have an independent bookstore.
I would agree.
You know, and it's a one man band. You know.
Yes.
And the other now Dennis's other book, Berkshire Patriots. How about a 30,000 foot view of that bad boy?
Sure. That was the more challenging book. It's 300 or 400 years of history,
Whoa.
Northwestern Massachusetts. So I have stories in there of men, predominantly men, who fought and served from the French and Indian War all the way to Afghanistan.
Wow.
And the stories are fascinating, all obviously true. Anywhere from the Battle of Bennington, people from North Adams went to the Battle of Bennington and Williamstown, they went there. It covers Peleliu, it covers World War II, Afghanistan. Both of the Afghanistan soldiers that are in the book were killed. One lived in Cheshire and one lived in North Adams.
Yes, the guy
But
with Green Beret.
the Green Beret.
Yep.
And I met with his folks. I went to the cemetery, spent some time with them. It's a touching, gripping story, how valiant and brave he was.
Yeah.
And then there was a
Predatory.
predatory.
Yep.
And DeMarsico from North Adams.
Yep.
So
I remember when they brought him home.
I spent some time with him, with the parents, very much touched how 10, 15 years later, we're all still crying about their
Yeah.
losses.
Before my lungs gave out, I used to walk on the Ashuwitikuk Trail in Cheshire. And Predatory's monument is there. And I'd always stop and say a prayer for him. And again, for people who are listening or viewing, these stories, these maybe because Dennis and I have experienced war, they when you these books, I believe, and I want to say this, Dennis, I hope it doesn't offend you. These books touch the core chords of what people did and sacrificed, that's why I'm glad he's back. I wrote another book. I mean, you know, I saw so many people. Oh, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. Well, when are you going to sit down and write it? Because it takes time, you know. The newest one. One of the reasons I jumped right on this, Dennis, when I saw it, and I got your email. The picture on the front. I was with the 101st Airborne
Oh, you were.
in Vietnam. Yeah. So the we used to say. They wrote the legend. We strive to continue it. The guys in World War II, and it's a great picture in so many ways. And one
There's
time,
a story behind the picture.
please.
One of the men in the book is in the picture.
Oh, wow.
He was with the 101st. As you know, the picture is showing Dwight D. Eisenhower
Yep.
talking to the paratroopers the night before they jumped into Normandy.
Yep.
And Saint Pierre, who's one of the men in the book, was that's his platoon. That's his platoon leader. And he used to joke with his families. You can see just the top of his hairline, and you can't make him out. And one of us couldn't make him out. And the family used to tease him. He's not in there. But he was with Echo Company. That's his platoon leader. And I thought it would be fitting to use that picture.
Yeah.
He was a barber in North Adams, enlisted, jumped into Normandy,
Harmony.
was wounded, went back to recovered in England, went back in for the Battle of the Bulge, was captured,
Whoa.
sent to a Stalag. They tried to force him to give up his faith for some reason.
Yeah.
And so they didn't feed him. He ended up surviving, rescued by the Russians, and came home, went back to barbering, and died at a young age because of the perils and everything he had been through. That's just one story. They're all fascinating in the book, but I enjoyed, he's got a fascinating story.
There was another guy. I don't know if you ran across him or researched him. I can speak to him personally. His name was Ray Kowalski, and he was the coach, the gym coach at the then North Junior High. It's now Reed Junior High. And he jumped in with the Pathfinders of the 101st.
Oh,
And when I came back, I went up to see him. And he said, "Oh boy, what's happened to my old unit? They took you." But and then he gave me a big hug. But when I was fortunate to know him, he in the summer we worked together at a Catholic summer camp, Camp St. Michael. And like, and years later, I found out what he was talking about. Fear is something that grips you initially, but you have to overcome it to survive. And I think you and I both perhaps have had that same experience. So
yes.
the when you read, people like the backstory, you know. And first of all, before we do that, I want to let everybody know. These books are available at the Lenox Bookstore, right across from the diagonally across from the Heritage. I always stop there to eat first, give me enough energy to get through the bookstore. These books are available, and I would highly suggest that you read them if you really want to know the underlying story that. The boy, and I refer back, it's the only one I've read. The Boys of St. Joe, 65. My wife is a 65 graduate of St. Joe Pittsfield. And these are the kids of St. Joe Adams, North Adams. And when you see the little faces on the front, they don't look that way anymore.
No,
No,
no.
most of them probably look like Dennis and I. But how did you get into it?
You know, in my previous job, I worked in human resources for 35 years.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of time interviewing people, hiring people from
Yeah.
CEOs to laborers. And when I got out and when I retired about 12 years ago, I didn't know what to do with myself. And my wife suggested, why don't you write some of the stories that you told our children about when you were in the Marines?
Yeah.
And she created a family blog, and I started putting the stories in there just to see what the kids thought. And then I went to that 50th reunion.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, those years and years of interviewing that I did really came to pass and help. And I started talking to families and recording. I never tape record what we said. I would write it down longhand and then type up my notes later.
Yeah, I do the same.
And that's where it all began. But I think began with my job. I did a tremendous amount of interviewing. And that's a way of getting close to people, pushing down walls, having them share with you. And one of the things I do with the families that most authors don't do is I say, before anything is published, I'll let you read what I'm writing.
Yep.
And I'm doing that for two reasons. I get close to the families, and I wouldn't want to say something that would hurt anybody's feeling. And I want to be accurate.
Well,
And
I admire you for doing it, you know, and so many and you know people, they retire and they really retire from life. They just don't retire from their job.
yes.
I mean, that's why I do radio. Because if I'm afraid if I stop, they'll put the lid down.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. That's my thought exactly.
Yeah. And so I try to do something. I've written, because of my background in criminal justice, I've written some books. And let me compliment you. I find I have to have solitude and peace and quiet to write. How do you write?
So, I have half the same. I get up every morning at 4:30,
Me too.
and I start writing at 5. Writing or researching, it's a combination.
Yeah.
By the time 7 o'clock, 7:30 comes, I punch out for the day. I help my take care of my wife.
Yeah.
So my writing time is really reserved from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning. Now, during the day, I may interview somebody,
Yeah.
talk to a historical museum, get images. But that's my routine. I do it 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Well,
Well, this is I'm working on my fifth book now, and I started in 2019, so 5 years, 6 years, 5 books. But I enjoy it. I really enjoy what I do.
you're very prolific, and it's I guess for those people out there who always dream of writing a book, listen to what we're saying. You have to set time aside in your day. I'll say that again. Time aside in your day, because if you write a paragraph on Monday and you don't go back until Thursday, sometimes you lose the flavor of where you were.
Yes,
Flavor
absolutely.
may not be the right word, but I tie everything back to food. So, and that's pretty much what I do. Pretty close to, I get up early in the morning. I guess it's a hangover from the military and a hangover from work. And I try then, like you said, research, read. But I will admit, sometimes in the afternoon, I put on classical music on the TV and I'll sit there and read, for research purposes. But you are much more prolific. My first books were in the 90s. Two books on managing violent youthful offenders in adult correctional facilities. And I just wrote one last year, Think Like a Terrorist to Defeat a Terrorist in Prison. To defeat terrorism and radicalization in prisons.
Wow.
Yeah, but it took us, well, I co-authored those, so. But your next book, what's that about?
It's called Hometown Heroes in the Civil War.
You said that.
In Berkshire County, and it's going to take up the same theme. I found 30 fascinating individuals who served in the Union Army, and I'm about 70% complete. Anywhere from Medal of Honor winners to Black Americans who served with the 54th
Yep.
Regiment, all born and brought up in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And I've amassed, oh, 18 to 20 stories. I've got a half a dozen more to do,
Whoa.
but it should be out, in the probably 6 months.
Well, let me give the invitation now so I don't forget, because what you're dealing with. By now you know what you're dealing with when you talk to me, 'cause, but one of the other things that I find fascinating too is you want, and what the people should know this, Military Writers Society of America awarded Dennis a bronze medal. Now, that's pretty cool stuff because these are people who read all the military books. And to get any kind of recognition to me is a gold star, as the nuns used to do on your forehead. But
They gave me the bronze for the Boys of St. Joe, and they
oh, wow.
awarded it also for the Berkshire Patriots. And now they're reviewing Berkshire Heroes. But so far, they've been very complimentary.
Well, I think, going back again to the Boys of St. Joe, I think because it's in a military genre, but it's the humanistic side of the military genre. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but if I start making sense at my age, people are going to think I've blown a fuse. We're going to take a little break here. I hope you're as fascinated with this interview and this gentleman as I have been and am, because I know what it takes to write a book. I've written three. He's written four in less time than I can think about. But not only that, they're in depth. They all have this, Dennis, jump on me if I'm wrong. They all have this central theme of, yes, this is war, but this is little Johnny from North Adams.
You know, I'm focusing on the selflessness, the courage, how valiant they were. Most of them in all ages volunteered, not knowing what was going to happen, where they were going to go, what they were going to be doing, but they wanted to serve their country, and they did it nobly.
Yeah. Yeah, they, in so many ways, it's true. I don't think a lot of people know this, but I volunteered. I got passed over for a position because I said that. They asked me if I was drafted or did I volunteer? And I said, I volunteer. And you know how sometimes you can just sense?
Yeah.
I sensed that the person who was interviewing me, they didn't approve of that. So yeah. I got passed over. But as me saying to the Irish mother used to say, an ill wind blows some good fate. And as it worked out, I got a better job. We're going to take a break. Please stay tuned. We've much more to cover. If you're thinking of writing a book, you should really stay tuned, because we're going to get into the really what it takes. We've told you about timing and dedication to the process is what I'm going to say for right now. Dennis can correct me when we come back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, Spectrum Cable. Tune in. We'll be right back in about 1 minute. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available.
online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy, you see, he's an author. His name is Dennis Prudgett. And if I'm saying it wrong, he'll correct it. But he's a Marine veteran of Vietnam. He's a wonderful author. For those that are just tuning, Dennis, we're a morning show, so we have people in and out, getting in their car, going to work. So there'll be a little repetition here when we start out. He's written four books. I've read one, and we all, Berkshire County, it's all about us. So all about us. The first book he wrote, and I read, is The Boys of St. Joe's, 65 in the Vietnam War. The second book, Born in the Berkshires. The third book, Berkshire Patriots. And his most current, and I'll be getting it right after this, and I'm going to buy it in Lenox, Lenox Bookstore, right across from Heritage. Berkshire Heroes in World War II. And he's very prolific, but he's very disciplined. As we said in the first half, I hear from so many, I want to write a book. Well, Dennis, you share your regime for writing your books, and then I'll share mine and we'll move on.
Sure. I've allotted a certain time every day to write. Usually I get up at 4:30 and I write between 5 and 7, 7:30, do writing and research. Sometimes during the day, I'll be calling different historical societies or different interviewing people, but generally 2 hours a day, 2.5 hours, 7 days a week, all year long.
Wow.
One of the questions I do a number of book events. And one of the common questions I get is that, how you do it.
Right.
Second of all, is where do you get your sources from? Where do you get your people from? How do you get the names? And it's been, there's a trove of names that I get from historical societies, local historians, amateur historians. People call me and say, I'd like, you know, would you consider putting my dad in your legacy book? And so I have a filtering process where I talk to people and then select who's going to be in the book. The other thing I do is when I'm writing, I'm immersed in reading about that period. So I normally like to read a wide variety of things. Right now I'm writing about the Civil War. That's all I'm reading.
Right.
That's all I'm reading. The other thing I do is I collect period pieces of the area I'm the time I'm writing about. So if you were to look at my desk now, you would see a cannonball from Vicksburg. You would see some badges from doctors from the Civil War. They're all original. I'm going to use them as images in the book, but I sort of surround myself with information and items that help me write. Directly in front of me is a picture of Captain Peter Dooley, my great-great-grandfather, who I've written about. And it just helps me stay in the moment, immerse myself.
Before I forget, because by now you realize what you're dealing with, I interviewed a guy, 102, Normandy Corman, and on the show here. And it got phenomenal. He's as sharp as a tack. I've been approached to interview somebody actually from Adams, 106, World War II guy. You're right. If people are interested in doing it, make up your mind. And I don't want to sound like Sister Maria John, but I don't know if you do this, but I have to come up with an outline. Now, you may change that outline 10 times, but if you don't start with an outline, it's been my experience, you wander.
I think you're lost if you don't. Every time, for every book, I've spent the first few days deciding on the topic and putting together a pretty in-depth outline. Now, like you said, Bill, it can change for sure. It can
yep.
change.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I do before anything else, because yep. like you say, you'll wander, you'll be off the track so quickly. The other thing, as I get some momentum, get 30 or 40% of the book done, I ask my publisher to create a book cover.
Yes.
And I post that right on my bulletin board in front of me, a picture, and she's developed one already that we've agreed upon. Just another piece of inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, the same thing, and I will tell people, you develop an outline, I have to. And like I've said, and Dennis just said the same thing, as you do your research or as you continue to write, something else pops into your head. You may adjust it. You may never adjust it. But I found that I've had to make several changes in the outlines that help develop the book.
I've even, in the outline, I put a title at the top. No, that's very early on. And that's changed any number of times as you get some momentum behind you, you know.
So when you start to write a book, from you go down, you've developed the outline, and now you assign your chapters. What's the process from there on, from the bigger down to the kind of the minutiae, because it's creativity.
I usually, right after I develop my plan, I develop a list of potential people to talk to, or potential chapters about people. And then what I do, I always like to get something accomplished quickly. I'll pick out the ones that I know there's a lot of history behind. I know there's a lot of information, and I can write their chapters fairly quickly. Or there's some living... So, you know, there's some descendants that are alive, and I know I can write those fairly quickly. I give myself 10 to 12 days to write a chapter, and so I'll start with the easy ones where I know there's a lot of information available. I'll get half a dozen behind me, and then I'm picking up speed. Before you know it, I'm 30% done, then 50% done. And then I continue right on my desk here. There's a list of 30 potential people. I continue to evaluate them on how much information's available, if they have interesting stories, what units they were with, what town they came from. Yeah. And then I rate them, and I Ooh. Write about the ones I have the most information on.
How much, what do they call it, literary license do you take when you write about a person? Before you answer that, I want to say one. Dennis does something that I think more and more authors should do. When you're writing about people, living or deceased, share, before you publish, share with the families what you've written. I think that is brilliant, Dennis. It's kind, and I think it's something more people should do.
First of all, it gets buy-in from the family. Somebody who might have spurned me or said, I'm not interested.
Right.
Well, if I can get a view of it before you publish it. And I tell them, like, my two reasons are accuracy, and I wouldn't want to say something that you wouldn't want.
Right.
That would be embarrassing to anybody. And that gets a lot of buy-in, and I do it, and I do it.
And to me, that's the humanistic, and what I want to bring out about these books, what I found from reading The Boys of St. Joe, is you probably can tell by now, he's a very humanistic guy. And he brings out the humanity of all these people, even in some really challenging situations. They're human, and I think, you know, so many war stories that they wanted to, you know, be like John Wayne. Well, I didn't know many John Waynes over there, but I know a lot of I knew a lot of young kids that were hoping to get home.
Yeah, the kids that were just scared to death, and
yeah,
Some of my books deal with one of them. The Berkshire Heroes has a tail gunner who was shot down four times, and pictures of his plane and his harrowing stories. I found it's interesting, Bill. I found as I started to interview people, I always worried about, well, is this story not going to be interesting? And am I going to have to tell the family? I just can't.
Right.
It's never happened.
Yeah.
Every story of these young men and women has turned out to be exciting and interesting.
When I was a kid growing up, everybody was World War II. You know what I'm saying? Every male. And one guy, and he was like a second father to me. His name was, he was Deputy Fire Chief Bill Reddy. And he was on the Intrepid when it got hit by kamikazes. And he was in the conn tower. And he said, I went out to smoke a cigarette when the kamikaze hit and killed everybody in the conn tower.
I've got that story in my book, one of those stories.
Yep, yep. And so one day we're at his house, and he'll show you he had a sense of humor. We're at the house, and that movie comes on, right? And he said, oh, change that channel. I don't want to watch that. And we said, well, why? He said, I was in the original cast. And I'll never forget that as long as I live.
I've got in one of my books, I've got a fighter pilot that flew off the Intrepid. Redheaded bread delivery boy from Adams, 19 years old, decided he wanted to fly, became a pilot, torpedo pilot, which is dangerous job.
Super. Yeah.
Took off on the second battle of the Philippines, and he had focused on a battleship, the largest Japanese battleship. And he was, he with his teammates were going to try and sink it.
Yeah.
He missed the battleship. But he hit the cruiser behind it and sunk it.
Oh, wow.
If you can't be good, you got to be lucky. That's and he got the Navy Cross as an ensign.
Wow, wow.
A bread delivery truck.
Right.
His own truck. Used to go to Albany to pick up loaves of bread.
Yeah. And
he became a Navy Cross winner.
And how many of those stories never get written? And that's why I love having Dennis on. He's taking the time to capture. And I like to post on the internet, I guess. But when I see a police officer, firefighter, a soldier, Marine, military person who've given their life, I like to say, thank you for your service. And I always add, and sacrifice.
Yes.
Because it is a sacrifice to pick up, leave your family and go. Even in peacetime, you're still serving something much larger than yourself.
Yes, by far, yes.
Dennis, I got to do this before we get you. I don't want to get you in trouble. I'm just kidding. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White, whose dad was a veteran, and he is President Peter of the City Council. And also the person who was riding their bike in the driving rain down William Street this morning. God love you, brother. Because Billy wouldn't have been on his bike. First of all, Billy doesn't have a bike. But next book.
You mentioned some aging veterans.
Yes.
Most recent book, one of the veterans is alive, the only one.
Wow.
He's 101 and he lives in Cheshire.
Oh, wow.
And his nickname is Chizo. His Italian name is Narciso Mosconi, and he was on Iwo Jima.
Well, somebody was just telling me about him.
He is in the book. Great conversation. I met with him in his man cave. He's fragile. He can't use the microwave anymore because they said he almost burned down the house. But great to talk to. A fine man, and sitting there talking to him and him talking about the black sands on Iwo Jima and not being able to dig a foxhole because they were too loose. And just fascinating. It's like I'm reading a history book. And he's still alive. When the book came out, I made a purposeful visit to him and gave him his copy.
Wow. Well, you know, when you in your newest book, what are you finding most challenging that you're writing right now?
Most challenging is because we're talking about things that happened 150 years ago.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier about taking some license in doing things.
Yeah.
Literary license. I take as little as possible. Okay. But if I know Billy was in the Gettysburg Battle.
Right.
On the second day. And I know I always know who their unit is with. You can make a lot of extensions from there. This one, his unit marched 30 miles overnight to get to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Lost a number of people, the heat stroke. So you can talk about the difficulty he had struggling through that without, I don't want to fabricate anything and I don't want to plagiarize, but you can connect A and B and end up at C real quickly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they just did, I don't know, just an aside, as they say, if you get back to Pittsfield, right at the Rotary there, Park Square, that's Lafayette. They just did a, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. They had a commemoration Lafayette. Now, that's stuff we're just finding out now. But right behind it, and you'll get a real kick out of this, there's a huge boulder with a plaque on it. It's been there longer than I've been here. And it's the name of a tavern where they planned the raid on Fort Ticonderoga.
Wow, I love that history.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's just so many things as we walk around Berkshire County that are in Bennington that are so relevant to that era.
Well, you know, it's you feel like you're in the center of history with all the things that happened, but like I said, when you start working on things 150, 200 years ago, you're relying more on research. I have had help from some great, great grandchildren.
Oh, cool.
Who have pictures and images. I work a lot with historical societies. I like to put images in the book that people typically don't see. One of the people in this book I'm working on now is a black soldier from the 54th Regiment.
Right.
I found a picture of him. That was in a historical society and received their permission to use it. So I'm always looking for images that will intrigue people or captivate them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other part of, for people who want to write a book, not like an autobiography, but if you want to write a book about something that's near and dear to your heart, before you, and this is just me, what I do is I have a collection of articles or books that, and I have to say this about my friends at the Berkshire Athenaeum. They're research people. They are wonderful to work with. They can get, I asked for some weird stuff and they've never let me down. So kudos to that. But do your research what I find, especially in my career field, criminal, A will say one thing and B will say another. And you have to kind of look at where they're coming from and then try to decipher what they both meant. And then you take your interpretation. We have about 10 minutes left. For those people that are just checking in, I have with me an author's author. He's won the Military Writers Society of America's Bronze Medal. It's in for another one. His first book I read was fascinating. It's called The Boys of St. Joe's 65 in the Vietnam War. And they have pictures on the front when they all were young and, well, he didn't put any old ones on. but that's probably just as well. Then he wrote Born in the Berkshires, Berkshire Patriots, and his most current book, Berkshire Heroes in World War II. And it's all about Northern Berkshire people, real life, real living, breathing people who were born and raised in Northern Berkshire. And that's what, when I first heard of it, first read the book, what fascinated me.
There's in the most recent book, there's a fascinating story about a man named Roger Dennett, who grew up in Williamstown. He was on Hawaii when the Japanese struck in December 1941, and fried eggs saved his life.
Oh, wow.
He was at Hickam Airfield, and he had the night before December, what was it, 7th, the night before, Staff Sergeant Friend said, look, why don't you come over and join me tonight, and in the morning we'll have real eggs. We got real eggs here. So Roger decided to go over the night before, and the next day when the Japanese struck, they leveled his barracks. When he got back to it was blood coming down the stairwell. But in the meantime, when he was at Hickam, he broke into the armory when they attacked, got out the machine guns, got out the rifles. There's no ammunition.
Yeah.
So he started firing at a zero with a bolt-action rifle. When he decided that wasn't great strategy, he fell down.
Oh.
The next morning, he leads a patrol along the waterfront, and they capture a Japanese mini submariner.
Wow.
Six mini subs. They were all sunk. This one grounded. The two-man sub. One was dead. Yep. The other was alive. He captured him, first POW of the war, and his men wanted to execute him right there on the spot. They were so upset. And he said he maybe have some value to intelligence. So they kept him. He went back to his barracks, became a bomber pilot, and survived 60 missions in Europe. Got out of the service and went back to working for the utilities.
You hear these stories. My mother's oldest sister's oldest boy drove three times a landing craft into Normandy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's passed now. But, I never really realized what that meant until I got to be in my probably 30s. And once would have scared the hell out of me. I wouldn't have gone back.
Yeah.
But it's service for country over self.
Yes.
I've had the good fortune of working with, since retiring, Master Gunnery Sergeant Charles Lyle, 32 years in this man's Marine Corps. So we are lucky. We are the ones, because you and I know those that will be forever 19. And I applaud what you're doing in so many ways.
Thank you.
And folks, one more time, the boys of St. Joe 65, the Vietnam War, Born in the Berkshires, Berkshire Patriots, and his newest book, which I'm going to run right down to Lenox and get. Well, I'm all, my running days are over. I barely can walk. But I'm going to drive down to Lenox and buy Berkshire Heroes in World War II. Dennis, get a hold of me when you finish the next book. We'll do this. I don't want you to take this as a threat. We'll do this again.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Love to.
Well, you are an interesting, phenomenal guest, a phenomenal author. And when you get up in this neck of the woods, give me a call, and I'll ask my wife for $20, and I'll buy you a coffee. Don't let me forget to get the receipt, because I got to have it when I get back home.
You got it. You got it.
Folks, as I say to you every day, maybe it's my old man, but I mean it from my heart. God bless you all. And I mean that. I know some of you find it offensive. But I would ask you today to try to lift somebody's burden. Make them laugh. Help them out. Let them cross the street. Get ahead of you in the grocery line. All of us have stories. And all of us have burdens. And we're all in this together. Let's help each other. It costs nothing to be kind. God bless. See you soon. Dennis, thank you so much. Stay in touch, bro.
I will.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Don't take this as a threat. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Nice. You end it very nicely.
Thank you. I mean it. I've been criticized for the God bless. Another story for another day. Unbelievable. Take care, my friend. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Thank you.